Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. This summer, join us in transforming lives. Our ministry has touched millions worldwide, offering free spiritual content that brings joy, hope, and spiritual growth. Thanks to your support, we've shared teachings, prayer, and devotionals from respected guides like Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Monsignor John Essif, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more. Now we're expanding to reach even more hearts in multiple languages. To continue this vital work, we need your help. We need to raise, between now and the end of August, $30,000 to keep our content free and accessible. Every donation, no matter the size, makes a profound impact. Visit discerninghearts.com or download our free app to explore our vast array of resources and to make a charitable donation. Discerning Hearts is a 501c3 nonprofit, so your gift is fully tax deductible. Together, we can climb higher and go deeper in our faith journey. From all of us at Discerning Hearts, thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you abundantly. DiscerningHearts.com presents St. Therese and Marie, a story of two cousins, with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual formation according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Father Gallagher is featured on several series on the EWTN television network, including Living the Discerning Life, the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He's the author of numerous books on the teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola, as well as on the teachings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. St. Therese and Marie, a story of two cousins with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Welcome, Father Gallagher.
Thank you, Chris. It's always great to be here.
I just have to thank you so much for lifting the curtain, opening the door. I'm not sure the right expression to use in this case, but revealing to us the gift that we have in the entire Martin Gruen family. We are blessed that this has been part of the fruitfulness of St. Therese's interaction in your life. And I know she's been a part of ours, mine, my family's. But it is a incredible experience to know that from this little flower, she's actually surrounded by a bouquet of a family. So much to be able to continue to offer us even after 100+ years. It hasn't lost its fragrance. If anything, it's still beautiful.
Well, I'll comment that when I first began, probably about 5 years ago, returning deeply to the sources of Therese, I had the initial sense that you read the sources, you explored them deeply, and you would, so to speak, master the content. And I had to realize that the closer you get to Therese, the more you realize that you're never going to master the content. It's like an ocean that doesn't have a bottom. You just keep getting deeper and deeper into it. And the deeper you go, the more grace there is, the more light, the more encouragement. But this is a story that is far from exhausted. And, you know, you remind me also that one of the books written on Therese is called The Story of a Family. And there's a lot of truth in that. And what we'll do here is one part of that. Of that family and its reflection on Therese and what it shows us about Therese, and also a disciple of Therese. Now, I'm calling this series Therese and Marie. Now, Marie is her first cousin, Marie Guérin. Therese and Marie, the story of two cousins. I use that phrase, the story of, because so many people writing about Therese have sort of taken off from the title, The Story of a Soul. Now, actually, Therese didn't give that title to what she wrote. She never had any idea that she was formally writing a book like that. She just responded 3 times to requests to write about her life. And these are called manuscript A, B, and C, and put together, they are the story of a soul. And it was her sister Pauline who, in the year after Therese's death, wanted to publish this. The custom in the Carmel is that after a sister dies, a fairly extensive circular letter, they call it, is composed detailing her life. And this is sent to all the other Carmels. In Thérèse's case, what they did was, because they had these three manuscripts, which really told the story of her life, they put them together, and this was a project that in which Pauline took the leadership. But without Thérèse's uncle Isidore, this would have never happened, because he underwent the expenses of the publication. They published 2,000 copies in the first publication of this. And he was also the proofreader as they did this, so that this book came out a year after her death. And they sent this, instead of a circular letter, they sent this to all the Carmels. And that was the beginning, because the response was so enormous that further publications followed. And this was the beginning of what has been called the storm of glory, you know, that follows upon Thérèse after her death. So that's where this phrase, the story of, comes from, and I'm just happy to continue to use it in that same tradition. And this time it is the story of two cousins, so obviously Thérèse and then her first cousin Marie. There are reasons why it's of value to take a good look at her cousin Marie and this relationship. First of all, they were first cousins, and that's no small thing, to be first cousin to the one that St. Pius X called the greatest saint of modern times. They were also very close friends. They were close in age. Marie was 2 years and 4 months older than Thérèse, and they bonded very naturally. Now, as we know the story, when Thérèse was four, her mother, Célie, died. They were living in Alençon, and the Guérin family was living in Lisieux. They were there in Lisieux because when Thérèse's uncle, Isidore, finished his studies in pharmacy in Paris, he was looking for a pharmacy to begin working, and he connected with this pharmacy in Lisieux, which is how the whole family comes to Lisieux. And this was the one who became his father-in-law, Pierre Fournet, who had a pharmacy in the main square of Lisieux. Isidore begins working there, he buys the pharmacy, he settles there, and he marries the former owner's daughter, Céline Fournet, and that's how the Isidore and Céline Guérin family is established in Lisieux. Now, when Célie dies, her sister-in-law, Céline Guérin, the wife of Isidore, understands. You have a very beautiful moment there when Célie is no longer able to talk, but her gaze is fixed upon Céline in a way that Céline understands that Célie is asking her to be the mother now of her five daughters, now that she'll no longer be with them. And Céline and Isidore take that very seriously, and they encourage Louis and the family to move from Alençon to Lisieux so that Céline can function now as a mother for these five girls.
I don't think we can underestimate the power of friendship, maybe even a shared sisterhood, that Zélie and Céline Guérin had. They were very, very close, weren't they?
They were. They just loved each other. It's understandable when you know both of them. They were both very loving and very giving, just very good people, both of them. And the connection was immediate. And you have many letters between them which show this in abundance. In fact, if Isidore and Céline Guérin became the deeply committed and faith-filled Catholics that they became, this is due in great measure to Louis and Zélie. In fact, you have the remote origins of Thérèse's whole, even little way, really, in the other member of the Guérin family, who was the oldest sister, who entered the Visitation and became Sister Marie Dorothy, Sœur Marie Docité. And then she has quite a part to play in the family, because the oldest Martin girls do their studies at the boarding school where she's present. And that loving, gentle approach toward God is mediated already at a distance and across a generation in that way. But to get back to Isidore and Guérin, who are the parents of Marie, Céline always practiced her faith, but it would become much more central for her through her contact with Zélie and Louis. And the same can be said even more powerfully, I would say, in terms of Isidore, who in his earlier years, and especially when he was in Paris for his pharmacy degree, he was not very close to his faith at all. There's one letter that kind of makes me smile a little bit when Zélie writes to him, and she's chiding him on this. And at one point, there's a need for prayers for a certain intention. And she says to him, "But I won't ask for your prayers because they're not worth very much." But under the guidance of both of his older sisters, Sister Marie, Dorothy, and also Zélie, and then in contact with the Martin family, Louis and Zélie, this begins to change for both Isidore and Céline, and you'll see them grow very deeply in their faith. And this is where you start to get the story of an extended family in a way, because each member reinforces the other as this story goes on. So when Thérèse is four, she moves to Lisieux together with Louis and the other girls, and a very close relationship now is established between the five Martin girls. And the Guérins have three children. The oldest is Jeanne, who is 5 years older than Thérèse. And then 2 years later, Marie is born. So she is, as I said, 2 years and 4 months older than Thérèse. They're going to be close. Jeanne and Céline are only a year apart, so they kind of form a pair. And then Thérèse and the younger Marie also form a pair. The Guérins also had a third child, Paul, a boy, but who died in birth. And you have some very lovely letters between Céline, who has just lost her son, and Zélie, who has been through this experience. She would go through this four times, as we know from Martin family history. So now you have the two families. It's actually Isidore who finds Les Buissonnets, which becomes the home where Louis and his five daughters live. And the contact is continuous because both of the Guérin daughters, Jeanne and Marie, as well as Céline and Thérèse, are day boarders at the Benedictine Abbey, the school run by the Benedictine sisters. And they walk together to school, and they walk in pairs. Céline and Jeanne will be together. Kind of charming that Thérèse indicates at one point that they were both very strong personalities, and they would argue a lot. But Thérèse and Marie also formed a pair, and they would walk back and forth from school together. Thursdays was the day in the week, the school week, in which classes were not held. And so habitually, the girls would spend a Thursday afternoon together, so they spent a lot of time together. And then also on Sundays, they would spend some time together. And then you have the summer vacations, which were held on the seashore at, and you know, Thérèse speaks about this and the impact of the sea upon her. But the Guérin family would rent a home or a chalet somewhere in the seaside towns. And then by rotation, the Martin girls would come to spend some time with them. So you also have that time that's spent close together. So there's a lot of contact. Marie then is first cousin of Thérèse, but for them it was even more than that. They'll often sign their letters as your sister. You know, they were that close together. Secondly, Marie and Thérèse were also very close friends. And they had a great, I would just say, harmony of spirit. They'll talk at times in the letters. We'll read some of this, so I won't say much now, but they both willingly, in their play, would turn toward playing hermits or mass or living religious life and so forth in a way that was different. There's a third family that comes into this also, and this is the Maudelone family. So Céline Guérin, who before her marriage is Céline Fournet, daughter of Pierre Fournet, she has a sister, Marie Rosalie. And Marie Rosalie also marries, and she marries a Monsieur Maudelonde. And so now you have another family. These are first cousins of the Guérin girls. You have a nice letter where Zélie tells Céline that Pauline, they're just young girls at this point, is saying to her, "Well, we're first cousins of the Guérin girls, and they are first cousins of the Maudelone girls." There were five children there and three girls. "So why aren't we cousins of the Maudelone girls?" And they very much considered themselves that. So the play would involve not only Céline and Thérèse from the Martin family and Jeanne and Marie from the Guérin family, but also these the three daughters also come into this. And in particular, the two youngest, Céline Modelonde, who is the same age as Thérèse, and then her younger sister, Hélène. And we'll see them come into this. But we'll see Thérèse indicate that when they'd be playing together, she and Marie had a certain harmony of spirit, that the kinds of things they wanted to do would be different from the things that the Modelonde girls, for example, would want to do, even though there's a great closeness there between them. And then thirdly, I would say it's valuable to look at Marie Guérin, because when she did enter Carmel, she was a novice of Thérèse. And so you'll watch Thérèse introducing her to religious life and giving her the formation that would lead eventually Marie to her own spiritual path, ultimately, I'd say, as a disciple of Thérèse. We also have another aspect of Marie which makes it worthwhile getting to know her, because she's the daughter of a pharmacist, so she grows up with medical things. When her sister Jeanne marries, she marries a doctor, François Lanéel, who actually would assist in some way Thérèse in her final illness and would assist Marie in the same way when her time would come. So she grows up in a medical atmosphere, and she absorbs this. Her mother, Céline, and her sister, Jeanne, often enough went through various kinds of illnesses, and Marie would be the one to assist them. In fact, in the letters, you have the big doctor and the little doctor. The big doctor is François, who is formerly a doctor, and Marie is spoken of as the little doctor. And she's a witness of Thérèse's final months, her final illness, and I'd say providentially, in God's design, during a good part of that final summer, her parents were away, and so she's writing regularly letters in which she's chronicling the experience that Thérèse is going through. So we'll be seeing some of those. She's a privileged witness to these final months of Thérèse. So putting all of that together, that's what made me think it would be worthwhile getting to know the story of these two cousins, because of the insight that it will give us into Thérèse, and then the insight into, I want to call her a disciple, but she's more than that. She's a cousin, she's a friend, she's a novice. There's a very deep bond there. And like all of us, Marie is, I think, the closer you get to Marie, you can't help but like her. But she has her limitations, as we all do, and she is a witness to Thérèse on a level that is accessible to all of us. We love Thérèse. We see the witness. We aren't the greatest saints of modern times. We aren't doctors of the church. But we can be warmed at her fire, and it can enkindle a fire in us as it did in Marie. We'll see all of that as we go through this.
I'm struck by Father Gallagher, and maybe it's because I've had the blessing of being able to be in Lisieux at one point, and to see that the proximity of the families was actually very close. In today's world, extended family is separated. You could be on one side of a town or another because of transportation and still have some interaction. But I think we forget how lovely it is to be just blocks away, to be able to come together and to be able to play, to be able to share meals, to run to one another's house. The closeness that family has with each other, we may have with friendships in a neighborhood, but to be able to have those kind of closeness with family members is really special.
It certainly is a powerful witness to the strengthening in the spiritual life, in our Catholic life, in the pursuit of holiness that comes when family members encourage each other. And when they stay close together and they strengthen each other. Now, we've seen this already earlier when we spoke of Léonie, Thérèse's sister Léonie, whose cause of canonization is now underway. The most unlikely candidate for a cause of canonization in so many human ways. But with the support of her family, you see just a beautiful spiritual life, the constant support of her family. She needed it throughout all of her life, and they always gave it. And the deep bonds of love between them, and the fruits are just marvelous. So yes, when a family as a family, in as much as it's possible, or at least this family member and that family member can walk together and share the spiritual life together, it is enormously strengthening.
If I may just bring this up, just not to possibly rush past it, because the story is so compelling, a great deal of it takes place within the Carmel, that to keep that perspective, that for this family, the influence of St. Francis de Sales, St. Jean de Chantal, the experience of that type of spirituality that comes from Sister Marie d'Ossite's A Time in the Visitation, that gentleness, the humbleness, the introduction of the devout life, the practice, you know, that type of spiritual influence that comes from a family who has experienced all of that. The experience of the Carmel and the Carmelite life, while it's very important, I'm not trying to downplay it, but I think it can be enhanced by understanding that everyday spirituality that was encouraged by the witness of those two other saints, as well as the devotion to the Sacred Heart that they all had.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's not only Sister Mary Dorothy, who is a visitation sister who mediates that influence, but Zélie absolutely loved the visitation and absorbed that deeply. And so through her as well, you also get that mediation. And of course, it appears most directly in Léonie, who does not become a Carmelite, but who does become a visitation sister. And there's a whole reason for that. She absolutely loved her aunt, Sister Mary Dorothy. And from an early age, she surprised Zélie by saying that she wanted to be a visitation sister someday. And it was a long and difficult path, but she did become a visitation sister and lived a wonderful life there for decades until her death in 1941. So yes, you have all of that background there. In fact, the spiritual matrix, as it were, of the Martin / Guérin family was so much Francis de Sales and the Visitation that the surprise is that the Carmelite life comes into it at all. In fact, when the first of the Martin sisters, and this is Pauline, the next to oldest, came to understand that she was called to religious life, the Visitation was the monastery that she approached, and she was in contact with them, and everything led everyone to suspect that that's where she would become a sister. And then you have this moment of grace. She and her father are at Mass in the parish church in Lisieux. And in the course of the Mass, she has a very powerful experience telling her that she is called to be a Carmelite nun. As she describes this, she is so deeply moved that she's a little embarrassed that when she goes up to communion that it's going to be evident to everyone. But the fruit of that experience was an unshakable and never shaken conviction that God wanted her to be a Carmelite. And so she enters the monastery of the Carmelites in Lisieux, and that's the beginning of the whole Carmelite tradition within the family. The other sisters, except for Léonie, all join with her in the Carmel. So yes, you have this sort of double matrix in a way, which harmonizes very beautifully. And you can see, as I say, the remote origins of Thérèse's own spirituality, that sanctity is not a matter for just a few exceptional people, and you don't need to be a missionary in the third world or a martyr or anything in order to be a saint. All you need to do is just do the things that God gives you to do every day in your own vocation, but do them with great love.
It's hard for me to find the words how I feel about Isidore and Céline Grouin. They, as parents to those two girls and to their young child who also passed, Paul, as you mentioned. I'm so glad you brought that forward. What a witness they had for their children and how they cared for the Martins after the death of Zélie and the failing health of Louis. They didn't hesitate to step in and help those girls and to support them, in particular Céline and Thérèse. And the loving care, of the maternal care that Céline continued to nurture in Thérèse until she would enter the Carmel and even after that, I think is really important. Yes, Thérèse benefited from the love of her sisters. At a certain point, Pauline would go to the Carmel, Marie would go to the Carmel, and that figure of Céline, of somebody, that feminine genius and that maternal nurturing, maybe the years go by, we'll be looking at the possible causes for Isidore and Céline Grouin because they just touch my heart deeply. And so I hope you don't mind me going off on a little personal note there. it doesn't surprise me that their children, especially the girls, turned out to be so loving and would have bear such great fruit for the world.
There's only been one biography written of Marie Guérin, the cousin of Thérèse, and it's in French. It's never been translated. By a father, Stéphane Joseph Piat, is spelled P-I-A-T. So Father Stephen Joseph Piat, we would say in English, who is one of the two great commentators, I would say greatest commentators. There are many wonderful commentators on Thérèse. One is, he later became a bishop, Guy Gaucher, who is probably the best of them all. But Father Stéphane Joseph Piat, who was a Franciscan, he got very interested in the Martin family. A beautiful thing is that he was writing these books when some of the sisters were still alive, so he was able to speak to them. And he wrote a biography of all the members of the family except for Pauline. So he wrote the story of a family that I mentioned earlier. And then he wrote a biography of the oldest sister, Marie, one of Léonie, one of Céline, and of course, obviously, Thérèse. Later, a wonderful biography would be written of Pauline so that we have these. Most of them are not available in English. But in any case, he comes to mind because when he begins this biography of Marie, he says, I'm going to spend some time on Isidore and Céline, her parents. The deeper I got into this, the more I realized why you really have to do that, because they are such a part of the life, or let's call it the story of these two cousins. They are major figures in this story as it unfolds. Now, Isidore and Céline Guérin are very different people. Isidore is a strong man. In fact, Thérèse tells in the story of the soul how when at times, and she's a very young girl, he would take her on his knees and he would sing Bluebeard in a way that just really scared her. He was strong. He could be blunt. He was a fighter. But you'll watch him as the years of his life go on. You'll watch him change and become gentler. Céline was very different. She was very loving, very warm. There was a sweetness and a goodness about her that she made a home in a very beautiful way. And I'd say she complimented Isidore. Probably you could say each complimented the other in a way that was very blessed for both of them. And you have lovely letters. Thérèse would write to her on her Aunt Céline's feast day. And just these letters in which she would pour out her gratitude to her and speaking of her as a mother. And then you have responses from Céline, who just marvels at how deeply the five Martin girls have taken her into their heart and the love that's there. So they are major figures. You watch them grow over the years in a way that's very beautiful, but they are deeply intertwined with the entirety of this story that we'll be exploring.
She's like the every person. Isidore and Céline are like those two people that are in the parish sitting in a pew who, if open to grace, are transformed and become, they're the more every person, unlike Louis and Zélie, who had aspirations for religious life. And Isidore and Céline are the every person who stepped up in love. And they may not have been perfect, but boy, they came out, they said yes. And wow.
Yes, I think that's a great way to describe them. They're not canonized saints. They're a husband and wife. He's a pharmacist. They go through the illnesses that a family goes through, the tragedies, for example, the death of their youngest son, the heartbreak that is accepted firmly in faith when their daughter leaves to go into the Carmelite life. Their oldest daughter marries. She and her husband, the Dr. Francois, desperately wanted children and were never able to have them. Isidore goes through the death of his wife. Jeanne and her husband Francois leave his practice in Caen. They move in to live with him, establish themselves. All the things that are so, call them ordinary, so much a part of daily life. And you know, I think we could apply that to Marie as well in many ways. Again, she's not canonized. She's not a doctor. As I say, I don't think you can help but like her as you get to know her, but she has her limitations. But you know, it struck me, I have been reading, you know, into this story, I don't know, for the past year or so, and several hundred pages of letters, you know, between the parents and Marie and Thérèse and so forth. And at a certain point, this was after Thérèse's death, and so you're reading the correspondence between first Isidore and Céline, but then after her death, between Isidore and Marie until her death. And it struck me, you don't ever find letters like this written between family members. You get so accustomed to the level on which they're writing, which is pure faith, that you expect it in the next letter that you're going to read. But when you stop and compare what's being expressed in these letters to maybe a letter I might write, you know, just to a family member about things that have been happening and asking how things are going with him and her and so forth. There's some of that, of course, in these letters, but there's a level of faith that is really striking. You almost have to take a step back from it to realize just the richness of what's happening. And I would say that all of this is suffused with Thérèse. She remains very active in the way that she prayed. You know, I want to spend my heaven on earth doing good. And you see this very, very really and powerfully in those that she knew and loved in her life. And we'll see it in Marie as we go forward.
Beautiful. You've been listening to St. Thérèse and Marie, a story of two cousins with Father Timothy Gallagher. Be sure to check out the comprehensive summary and reflection questions contained in the show notes for this episode. To download this particular episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find them within the free Discerning Hearts app or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer authentic and rock-solid spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for St. Thérèse and Marie, the story of two cousins with Father Timothy Gallagher.